Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I pick a new band and musician going in alphabetical order, no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play the music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast, and I ask for you to go out and legally purchase or stream their music. Maybe even pick up some merchandise. The musicians need your support, and I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. So here we are up to the letter V. And I'll admit, when I planned out these episodes and the bands and the artists I was going to cover for this first run through the alphabet, Van Halen wasn't my original first choice for the letter V. Not that I don't love them. I absolutely do. I've been a lifelong fan of the band, and I mean all eras of them. But as you know, I make an effort to mix things up and not always go with the most obvious bands when a certain letter comes up. But then October 6th happened, and we all have that moment when we remember where we were when we received the news of the tragic passing of one of the greatest musicians of all time, Eddie Van Halen. I was actually on a Zoom call with coworkers, and I remember it just popped up on my newsfeed, and my heart sank. And I mentioned it on a Zoom call. One of the people actually said on my call, oh, I thought he already died. Anyways, when we lost Eddie, I thought about doing a tribute immediately. But honestly, the way I do these shows, it's not something I can just simply rush. And I wanted to do it right, you know, and pay proper tribute to one of the greats. That said, this isn't going to be a typical Eddie Van Halen tribute. I'm still going to treat this in a lot of ways as a regular show, highlighting my favorite underrated and underappreciated songs from the band. But of course, what I'm not going to do is play the obvious hits. In fact, I'm going to completely go against convention for this episode because I'm going to choose to honor Eddie by covering my favorite post-David Lee Roth era songs. Yep, that's right. We're going with the Sammy Hagar era Van Halen, or what is often referred to as Van Hagar, as well as my favorite nuggets of post-Hagar. I've decided on this format for a couple of reasons. Firstly, there have been hundreds of Van Halen tributes pouring in from all over, and rightly, they've heavily focused on their early era, 1978 through 1984. I'm not arguing. It's by far the best era of the band. I just want to acknowledge the great things the band has accomplished after this period. As debated as this era was these days over its quality, no one can argue that at its time, they were still on top of the world during this period. And I had no problem finding plenty of underrated songs that showcase the band and the amazing guitar work from Eddie. Secondly, many times when I get to a band that has such a lengthy history, I've been forced to tackle only a certain era of the band. Up until now, I've always started in the beginning. So this was a perfect opportunity to jump right into the second half of a band's career. A neat way to mix things up for the show. So before I get going, I do like to give a little bit of context to my relationship to the band and how I got into them. I've mentioned it many times in the show before, but I grew up in the MTV generation. Hard rock and heavy metal really weren't something on my radar until probably 83, 84, when songs like Def Leppard's Photograph or Quiet Riot's Come On Feel the Noise and Twisted Sister's We're Not Gonna Take It became MTV staples. Maybe throw in some Rat in there too. I remember liking those songs, but none of it ever became as huge as when MTV debuted Van Halen's Jump video. It was my first exposure to the band and Eddie's guitar playing. The music video was everywhere. I can still play the entire video in my head. I remember all the outfits that they were wearing and the expressions on their faces. I remember the smile Eddie had while playing in that video. I remember not much later getting the 1984 album on cassette. I was 10 or 11 years old. Life was good. Then the next thing I knew, that guy, the lead singer, was off doing a cover of the Beach Boys song, and there were no guitar solos. What the hell happened? It was very confusing for someone of my age. Despite all this, my appreciation for Van Halen was relatively limited to the 1984 album and a couple songs I heard on the radio. I do remember buying For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge when I was when it was popular back in the early 90s too. Not really sure why it took me so long to dig deeper into their catalog, because it really wasn't until I got into college that I really got into their back catalog. My freshman year roommate had the 1978 debut album on CD, and he played that for me, and my mind was blown. I had never really heard Running with the Devil before, and it was the first time I heard Jamie's Crying and the instrumental masterpiece Eruption. How did this escape me for so many years? I don't know. I instantly found myself at some used record stores purchasing their entire back catalog on CD. So I'll give a little bit of a history to the band. I'm not going to get too much into this because a lot of this is common knowledge. Brothers Alex and Eddie, as children, moved to Pasadena, California from Amsterdam, Netherlands, in 1962 and formed their first band at the ages of 9 and 11. As young adults in the early 70s, they were joined by bassist Mark Stone and eventually David Lee Roth on vocals. They called their band Mammoth. Mark Stone would leave the band, citing that he wasn't sure if he was interested in a career in music, and he would be replaced eventually by Michael Anthony. In 1974, they would drop the name Mammoth and change it to Van Halen. They famously worked the Sunset Strip in the 70s until they finally got noticed and signed a deal with Warner Records, where the band would stay for 20 years. So we're going to fast forward, because that's what I'm doing. We're jumping ahead to the Van Hagar era. So by 1986, Roth had left the band and was replaced by Sammy Hagar. And on March 24th of that year, Van Halen's seventh studio album was released, 5150. It was produced by Mick Jones, Don Landy, and Van Halen. I remember at the time, I didn't connect with this record. The synthy production, the stark contrast of Sammy's vocals just lacked the swagger of Roth's. I don't think I even purchased this record until many years later. I think I also wasn't all that crazy about the singles that came off of it. Dreams, Summer Nights, and Why Can't This Be Love were all very sappy. Only exception would be the pretty cool song Best of Both Worlds, which I did kind of dig. That said, I thought the album did a stellar job with its opening track, kicking things off with the song Good Enough, which is the song that I'm selecting from this record to play. Sammy is singing with some pizzazz and having a really good time on this one, paying tribute to the Big Bopper and the song Chantilly Lace, and Eddie's pulling some new tricks out of the bag here too, which is really cool. When you really think about it, this would have been a great song sung by David Lee Roth if given the opportunity. Overall, it's an upbeat, boogie-oriented party rocker of a song. It has a catchy guitar riff and a melody. And outside of the single, Best of Both Worlds is my favorite song on this album. If you're familiar with the show, you'll know I always quote my favorite lyrics from each song, usually in my most deadpan delivery possible. Good Enough's lyrics will never be mistaken for anything Shakespearean. In fact, if their lyrics aren't a metaphor for sex, then you're probably not listening to Van Halen. U.S. Prime Grade A stamped guaranteed. Just grease it up and bring on the heat. Throw it down and roll it over once or twice. Then chow down.
Hello, baby! Oh.
May 24th, 1988, Van Halen released their eighth studio album, OU812. Possibly one of the worst album titles ever. Oh, that's just me. Anyways, it was produced by Don Lindy and Van Halen. I may be in the minority on this one, but I do like the second Hagar album slightly better than the first, but I won't completely defend it. It does have several absolute clunkers on it. I know I'm going to sound like a hypocrite just after I said I wasn't a fan of the sappy songs on 5150, but I do have to admit I really do like When It's Love. All right, call me a sap. What can I say? Several solid rockers on here do stand out for me, especially AFU and Source of Infection. Wasn't originally going to mention it, but my least favorite song is Feels So Good. Those synthesizers are an abomination, so what else can I say? The song Black and Blue was actually released as the first single on this album and charted as high as 34 on the Billboard Hot 100. So this is kind of breaking my first rule on the ABCs of Rock to not play singles or hits. But, you know, well, I can justify this because, seriously, outside of diehard fans, this song has long since left the consciousness of the world that it's never played on the radio, and I'm even referring to satellite radio too. Eddie's guitar riff is filthy, and I love it. He's found this incredible guitar tone for the song, and it really makes it stand out. I strongly urge you to take it in with headphones on. And of course, it has a killer solo on it. Absolutely one of Eddie's best. Lyrically speaking, well, let's just say it's the metaphor is paper thin here. Here's the opening verse. Slip and slide, push it in. Bitch sure got the rhythm. I'm holding back, yeah. I got control, hooked into her system. All right. I hope you enjoyed that song. Let's move on. On June 18th, 1991, Van Halen released their 9th studio album and the 3rd with Sammy Hagar, titled For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. It was produced by Andy Johns, Ted Templeton, and Van Halen. It was actually their first time they worked with Ted Templeton since the departure of David Lee Roth, last working with him on the 1984 album. Ted famously had produced all of the Van Halen albums from their debut through 1984. So as you can guess, expectations were high when this album came out that this was going to be a return to form for Van Halen. In some ways it was. They ditched a lot of the synthesizers that they had adopted in recent years and turned out a pretty straightforward hard rock album. Unfortunately, outside of the global phenomena single known as Right Now, which truthfully is such an anomaly of a song for Van Halen, a lot of this album falls into mediocrity, I feel. But I'm not here to pile negatively onto this album. I don't dislike any of the songs on here. I think, if anything, the album suffers from the band trying too hard to recapture an era that is long gone. Eddie's guitar playing is always incredible, but the arrangements are complex and dense, and accompanied with the contributions from the rest of the band and Sammy's relentless vocals, the album as a whole lacks the fun of the previous Van Halen records. There's a lack of variety and swagger in the music here as well. That said, there's still plenty of killer tracks to select from here. I do adore the opener, Pound Cake. I mean, who doesn't? And the closer, Top of the World, is solid too. But those were both singles, and Pound Cake was a pretty big hit for them. Going to go with the second track on the album, Judgment Day. Really love the guitar work on this song and how the guitarist is just chugging along like a freight train. Just a great driving tempo. Shout out to Alex's drumming on this one. He's tearing it up here. It's great. Here is the second verse. I do most anything, keep from doing anything, 'cause sometimes I just want to do nothing. Nothing lost, so tell me, how can I lose, ha? When I'm starting off with nothing. We'll be right back.
all right? Yeah.
Let's stick with this album for another song, because I really want to play this other kick-ass song from this record, Run Around. How this wasn't a single is beyond me. It's got all the makings of a hit, an amazing guitar hook, and a very catchy chorus. Plus, it has another great solo from Eddie. It did get a music video that got a good amount of play. Another solid Alex Van Halen song, I might add, as well. And this would be a great time to emphasize what all of us Van Halen fans already know. Alex is truly one of the most underrated rock and roll drummers ever. I mean, when your brother is arguably one of the top two or three greatest guitarists of all time, it's easy to get overshadowed. But Alex, anywhere else, would be the best musician in the band. This song, Run Around, is a great showcase for his skills. I'm going with the second verse for this one. Well, she can take me for a little ride, but just as long as she drives me home. Around the block, maybe once or twice. And then some lovin', wouldn't that be nice?
Just as long as she drives me home around the block.
All right, let's move on. The final Sammy Hagar fronted Van Halen album, titled Balance, was released on January 24th, 1995. It was produced by the extremely successful Bruce Fairbairn, who previously produced huge albums like Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet, Aerosmith's Permanent Vacation and Pump, and AC/DC's Razor's Edge, among many others. So they definitely brought in a ringer for this release. Going to stir up some controversy when I drop this little bomb and lose all my Van Halen cred, but Balance is probably my favorite Sammy Hagar era Van Halen album. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, they've long abandoned the synths, which I'm not opposed to, but they just went too far with them by OU812. It got ridiculous. I mean, just listen to Feel So Good. I know I keep going back to that song, but it is an abomination. Yikes. Anyways, with Balance, we have a full-fledged hard rock album, and I think the band learned from some of the mistakes on the last album, which wasn't bad, but it was just so monotonous at times. Balance has a lot more nuance to it. My theory is this. Van Halen puts out their best work when the band is struggling from within. With 1984, David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen were at odds over the direction of the band and put out a classic. Not saying Balance is on the same level, but I do feel like the lack of internal cohesion somehow brings out better things in the band. Because I do feel Balance is a very good album. I really like the oddities on this one. The interludes like Doin' Time and Strung Out, even the piano ballad, Not Enough. Lots of variety on Balance, and I appreciate the fact that it's not a one-trick pony that I felt the last one was. Got a couple picks on this one here. My first is Aftershock, which starts off with an amazing opening guitar riff, and it just keeps building and building on itself. The song is loaded with power chords. Eddie is all over the fretboard. And finally, Michael Anthony's bass work is just outstanding. Definitely not hidden or buried here. Let's get to the lyrics. And I'll admit, there's nothing particular about the lyrics in this song that do it for me. The song is completely about the musicianship for me. The lyrics are inconsequential, but I gotta select something, so here it goes. And it ain't gonna change overnight, no. And it ain't gonna change without a fight. Living with the aftershock. Why? I never thought she'd walk, but now I'm living with the aftershock.
I'm never gonna
So if you're getting some Hagar fatigue, then here's the remedy. Very deep on the Balance album is their first proper instrumental rock song that Van Halen has done since the 1982 Diver Down album. That's kind of hard to believe that with a guitar virtuoso in their band, that Van Halen doesn't have more instrumentals. I mean, they have some, you know, but here we are 13 years later, and not only their first instrumental since then, but really the only full-length instrumental song they would ever record on a studio album that's over 4 minutes long. Nothing else they ever did as an instrumental was ever even 2 minutes long. Anyways, I've teased the song long enough. The song is Balutotherium, and it's a beautiful, incredible musical soundscape that needs to be heard and appreciated by everyone. When I hear the song, all I think of how and why didn't Eddie ever record an entire instrumental album? I could have listened to that all day long. I've heard rumors that the only reason it's an instrumental is because Sammy Hagar had trouble writing lyrics for the song and he just ran out of time, which may have attributed to the fact that it was dropped from some pressings of the album in some formats. I don't know, but to me, the song is Eddie at his best. I love his guitar tone. The song has a bit of a melancholic vibe to it, which now, with his passing, makes it that much more meaningful to me. Let's get to this amazing song. I do hope you love this one. I think I'm in a good place in the show to mention that the ABCs of Rock is part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. Please don't hesitate to share with me your feedback of the show. I really love hearing from listeners. You can always email me at abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. I can also be found on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. So give me a follow or reach out to me and let me know that you're out there listening. Also, if you have a chance, please take a moment and rate and review on your preferred podcast app. It may seem insignificant, but every single rating and review adds up and helps this podcast find a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. So before we get into the album that I know everyone can't wait for, we're going to take what I know will be a much appreciated detour, because before we entered the Gary Cherone years, we got what was we thought was going to be the glorious return of the original lineup with David Lee Roth. I'm not going to get into all the drama that surrounded this period, especially the MTV Music Video Awards debacle. It's just so ugly. I don't want to get into it. But, you know, a lot of us got very excited when we thought David Lee Roth was going to come back into the band, and it didn't happen. But, you know, they did put out a greatest hits album, and it was Best of Volume 1 compilation, and it featured a couple brand new songs that were fronted by David Lee Roth. Both of those songs I thought were pretty solid. But for my taste, the song Me Wise Magic is vintage Van Halen. So I'm going to play this one. Interesting tidbit about this song. Technically, this is the final song ever recorded by the original lineup with David Lee Roth, the Van Halen brothers, and Michael Anthony. This song. Think about it. Not a bad way to go out, I say. Some great guitar work as usual from Eddie, who's tearing it up, especially on the back half of the song. And it's so cool to hear David Lee Roth's vocals layered into the mix. His voice is just the voice of Van Halen for me. He represents the swagger, the machismo that Van Halen has always been about. So let's get to some of those vintage Diamond Dave lyrics. These are from the third verse. A little zen. Headed your way. You'll get it. Halfway down the interstate. 4 days from now, it all goes clear. A Buddhist riff for your inner ear. Thank you.
minutes from now, it all goes clear. A Buddhist riff.
How amazing is that song? I love it. Those backing vocals from Michael. I mean, when you really think about it, Michael Anthony as a backing vocals for Van Halen is one of their biggest secret weapons. And it's probably appropriate that it gets mentioned by now, because around now is when he'd be stepping back from the band, especially on the next album. On March 17th, 1998, Van Halen releases their 11th studio album titled Van Halen 3, produced by Mike Post and Eddie Van Halen. So right there, something sticks out as an oddity. And we haven't even gotten to Gary Cherone yet. Mike Post as a producer. Mike Post, the same guy whose bread and butter is writing jingles and theme songs for TV shows, Law & Order, The A-Team, NYPD Blue, LA Law, plus tons of others. Nothing against this guy. I mean, he's a genius at what he does, but it's just such a curious thing to bring on someone like this to produce a hard rock and metal album. Well, Van Halen 3, of course, was the first and only album to feature Gary Cherone on vocals. It would be quite easy for me to cast judgment on this album. Of course, it's universally panned, and I'm not going to defend it at all. But what I will say is that I don't think any of the problems with this album have anything to do with Gary Cherone. He's a great singer, and he'll always have his success with Extreme. However, I think the album would have been better off if it was simply packaged differently. In so many ways, this feels like that Eddie Van Halen album, soul album, that I had mentioned earlier. And maybe it should have been just that, with Gary Cherone as a guest vocalist. But by titling it Van Halen 3, that set themselves up for failure. I mean, Van Halen 3 was Women and Children First. I mean, that's what Van Halen 3 should have been. It's but the album itself, it's very experimental. It lacks Michael Anthony's presence, which really hurts it probably more than anything. He's only on a couple of the tracks playing bass, and I'm not sure if he has any backing vocals on this album at all. The best track in this album, I think, was the first single, Without You. It's not bad. I also think of all of the songs on here, it is the one song I could completely hear David Lee Roth singing on and making his own. Aside from that, there are a couple others that stood out for me solely because they rocked pretty hard and Eddie shined on them. Both Fire in the Hole and Ballot for the Bullet worked for me. And this song, which I think is a very solid rocker titled From Afar. It's rare for Van Halen to indulge in dark themes, something I kind of wish they played around with more often. I know they're the ultimate party band, but I love how this song taps into extremely disturbing themes of obsession, mania, and infatuation. Makes my skin crawl, and I love it. Eddie brings back this classic guitar tone I'm really digging. The pacing of the song is so unique. It starts, it stops. It's almost like an early 1980s Phil Collins structure, kind of like In the Air Tonight, which is not a bad thing. I've read lots of comments online that this would have made a great James Bond theme song, and I totally could hear that. Must be that Mike post-production. Let's get to the lyrics. Though our circumstances cause separation, in the absence, there's a presence in my heart. I will surrender. I'll surrender to my quiet contemplation. My quiet contemplation. I'll just love you from afar.
Into your eyes, that hint of death hidden inside. If I cannot hear you from afar, whisper in my ear, rest assured that you are near. Love you from a
A 14-year hiatus before Van Halen would make the return to the recording studio for a full-length album. But many of us will agree on that, what a glorious turn it was. In that time, though, Michael Anthony did leave the band and ended up joining Sammy Hagar's band. By the way, which honestly is a solid lineup, which consists of drummer Jason Bonham and guitarist Vic Johnson. Sammy did all right for himself, I think, after leaving Van Halen. I've actually seen his band live, and they put on a hell of a show. Obviously pulling songs from his Van Halen days, as well as his solo career, going back to his days with Montrose. Plus songs from his Chickenfoot albums, and of course with Jason Bonham's connection to Led Zeppelin, they do some amazing covers of those. If you haven't seen Sammy Hagar and the Circle in concert, I do highly recommend it. At this point in his career, he's just a man with nothing to lose and having the time of his life. But back to Van Halen. On February 7th, 2012, they released their 12th studio album, A Different Kind of Truth, produced by Van Halen and John Shanks. New to the lineup, of course, is Wolfgang Van Halen on bass, Eddie's son. Up and down this album, the songs are truly fantastic. The music just feels like they could have been written in 1982. It's the ultimate tribute to the past, but it's also done without sounding like it's a tired retread. The songs are fresh sounding and full of life. So I'm picking a couple from this album. The first is the incredibly tasty tune, Honey Baby Sweetie Doll, one of the heaviest Van Halen songs in their catalog, and it's full of so much attitude. Eddie's guitar is singing on this track. Just listen to what he does at the 2 minute and 20 second mark on the song. Vintage Eddie. It's kind of an experimental song for them. It's loaded with effects on the guitar, and David's vocals, even though I wish they were a little less buried in the mix, I think are very effective. Let's get to the lyrics because I love the writing in this one. This is from the second verse, and it features some of those classic Roth lyrics. I'm a bad little cowboy. Send me to your room. Let's get started. Let's not stop soon. Rolling like the ocean when the moon is full. I'm a face grenade with a sex pin pulled.
I'm one that I want, or I don't want one at all. Honey, baby, my heart's aflame, I'm all for you to blame. Honey, baby, sweetie girl, let me count the ways you rock my world. Stone Cold sister, soccer mom, recharge amiga, cherry bomb.
Baby lover, angel faces, satin dolls, straight up faces.
Bad little cowboy, send me to your room. Let's get started, let's not stop soon. I'm home like the ocean when the moon is full. I'm a face grenade when the sex man pulls.
Baby lover, angel faces, sand on you, straight up faces.
Sort of rich. I dig both and I don't care which. You're gonna make me crash. Red hot Florida trailer trash. Right out the switch.
I got one more to go, and it's one of my favorites from this final album. Going to listen to Big River, another throwback to the early days, complete with a thrashing Eddie solo, power chords, and enough hooks to hang your entire wardrobe on. Plus, we get David's whiskey-soaked vocals right up in front on the mix, and it sounds great. A little more raspy now in his late 50s, but it still carries the same swagger and charisma of the olden days. I always thought that this should have been the lead single on A Different Kind of Truth instead of the song Tattoo. But that's just my opinion. Anyways, let's get to the lyrics. This is the second verse. Listen to a seashell. You can hear the sea. Listen to a beer glass. That river belongs to me.
We'll
There you have it, 10 of my underrated and underappreciated Van Halen songs from the Sammy Hagar slash later part of their career slash my tribute to the late, great Eddie Van Halen. I hope you enjoyed the music and my commentary and insight. This wasn't an easy one to do. It still feels very raw, very fresh, the loss of Eddie, and I'm right there with you in mourning. It's devastating. But his music will always bond us together, and we can take refuge that his fan base is one of the strongest out there. I've been on many social media pages, and the love and support I see getting passed around is really heartwarming. Most of us I know never probably met Eddie, nor had any personal connection with him at all. Yet we feel like he was a brother to us. I totally get it. Well, I don't want to end things on too much of a somber note. After all, Van Halen put out some amazing music that was fun, exciting, and for the most part, music that was good-natured and well-intentioned. A very positive band in so many ways. So, you can send your feedback and or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. It's all good. Like I say, music is totally subjective. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me this week. Also, please don't hesitate to reach out to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, or on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. I love getting feedback and messages and letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer over the past hour. I realize that there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there that you could be listening to, and I sincerely thank you for spending your time with me on this show. It means the world to me. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Western Media Podcast Network. I thank you again for listening, and have a great week, everyone.